Welcome to our space, where talking about the inspiring things with inspiring people is what inspires us. Waiting for you here are the infinite possibilities that creation, collaboration, and connection have to offer. A universe where we see everything through rose-tinted spectacles that help us to keep our faith in the power of imagination alive and well. And now, let's talk. Susan Diamond was born in Massachusetts in the United States from a family of immigrants. Her dad was Polish, her mom Russian, and she herself has been an immigrant for at least 25 years here in London, in England. Mm-hmm. She was a student of fashion illustration from the Boston School of Fashion, and then she decided to go to Europe to travel around, and she settled in London, where she met her long-term partner in crime and in love, and they created together a brand of glam punk fashion. It was called Charles of London, and they also did together, or they created together, an electro noise performance band. But she's now coming back to her first love, which is painting. And we have invited Susan Diamond here to Metralla Rosa to talk about her work as a fabulous, captivating, high-impact artist. So welcome to Metralla Rosa, Susan. It's really a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Lovely.
And I would like to start, because I'm an immigrant myself. Mm. I don't know if you consider yourself an immigrant. That's an interesting...
This is what I wondered. When you said that, I'm like,
Maybe not.
Yes. Well, I don't know, you see. That's interesting, actually.
Do you think because of the language, because you are American, maybe you felt always... very in synchrony with whatever was happening here?
Not at all. Oh, I definitely felt foreign. Okay. Yes, so I didn't fit in straight away, nothing like that. No, absolutely. So I don't think I felt an immigrant, no. Because I don't know, I think that, yeah, it's difficult, but I definitely didn't fit in straight away. So I had this sort of like, I felt out of place.
Okay. Mm. And how frequent do you come back to the United States? Do you miss anything?
No, I haven't been back. Since my mother died, I went back once, and that was my brother's wedding. And so not much to miss, really, other than my mother, of course. But and I'll talk about her later. But it just sort of like things that I used to miss, now you can get here very
For
easy.
For example?
And, well, it was really funny because Mark said to me, when we were going through the questions, he said, what sort of things do you miss? Like pancakes or waffles or something like this.
Food.
Certain foods. But you can get these sort of things here. So now you're just sort of like, well, no, it doesn't really mean anything. Okay, so I don't miss anything really on that sort of front. Of course, you know, you miss things that you can't get now, and that's family, I suppose.
But as an experience, in a sense of maybe the nature, maybe the landscape, or maybe the sense of space that you have in United States.
Sure, yeah.
Are those things, have they somehow been reflected in the work you do? Mm. Because sometimes when we change culture and countries, that definitely have an impact in any insight you have from an artistic point of view, and then you start reflecting in your work all those differences. I wonder if for you it has been a theme, or maybe not at all.
No.
Which is also possible. Why not?
Yeah, not at all, really, because I think I started painting later. I was living here already for quite a while. None of those things really affected me. And when I was living in America, well, when I grew up in Springfield, Massachusetts, much more open.
Hmm.
And I always wanted to live in the city. And I wanted to just go out, everything on my doorstep, walk here, walk there. I didn't want to have obviously America is big open. London is much more enclosed, that sort of thing. But I haven't had that for a long time. And so here, everything, mostly, yes, you can come out and everything's on your doorstep. But... I guess it depends. lines. I'm not sure. I never really noticed it that way, no.
I feel looking at your paintings, well, it's very obvious that your characters are full of color, full of presence, a strong identity in terms of what they want, how they want to be appreciated. Strong female characters mainly, and they also look a little bit troublemaker, which I love.
I love that when you said that. Yes.
I love it. Do you relate to these characters? Do you feel like it's always a bit self-referential?
In some ways, yes. I guess I was also a bit of a troublemaker when I was younger, and my father would definitely say so. So I guess everything is a little bit... I know you said it earlier, it's autobiographical, it's not really necessarily. Some of them are just, they are really made up characters. Nothing is really real.
It's more,
do they come more
from your desire of what a female should be in society, or more from a feeling of this is what I am and this is what I want to show? What do you think?
It's difficult because I'm not sure. Sometimes you don't really think about it so much. You know, you just sort of have an idea and sometimes it might come in your dream and you think, oh, I want to paint this today. I have an idea. And then it comes as it comes. And I never really think too much about it.
About it. No. Have you always worked such a huge format?
Yeah.
Because this also speaks to me about someone that is really expansive and that has big ambitions and also an aesthetic presence which is strong and determined. Like, I'm here and this is me.
Yes.
Have you always worked in that big format?
I have. Well, I say that, when I started painting again after, very much so, when we stopped doing or not started. Sorry, I got confused. Charles of London, as a fashion label, and things sort of like, what am I going to do now, in a way? And so go back to my painting. So I did used to paint, and then I got back into it. And this is when I decided to make very big paintings and really make a bold statement.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They look impressive in this exhibition you did in 2020, Art in the Forest, or Forest.
Yes.
That you took all your paintings out in an outdoor space.
Yeah.
What was the idea behind this? Because in this moment, do you work with acrylics, right?
Yes.
And they look very pop and very related to fashion and the music industry, especially rock music.
Yeah.
But at the same time, seeing these paintings in nature was kind of establishing a communion or a synchronicity between nature and these things we are in the cities.
Yeah.
These urban feelings that can also go well together.
Yes, yes.
Please tell me about that.
Well, I love the way that you've interpreted it, and that's fantastic. So, I mean, it came out of really kind of from just this very small idea. We were living in on the seafront.
Okay.
And we decided to move into the country. So it was just for like the spring, summertime. We were in this place in the country. And I had a lot of my paintings that were in storage. And then once we were there, we're like, well, what are they doing? Let's get them here. So we got all the paintings out of storage. And then one day we were like, let's take one into the woods. And we took a picture of just the painting on its own. Just one to start with, on its own in the garden. And they're like, God, it looks great. I took a picture. And then Mark, he's the one who comes up with the art. Let's go into
We're going to talk about him.
Yes, of course.
Soon.
And he said, why don't we do, like, first of all, is just take another one with me in the woods. And then we took some pictures. And then it would just start from that one. We decided to do a series.
Okay.
So just everywhere we went in that, where we were very lucky we were living at that time, it was... there were gardens, there was a woodland, there was another area you could walk to, you could just take the painting, and we found these amazing places. Then wherever we were, and depending with the light, and then if it was a little darker, and then obviously throughout the seasons, you know, you had the flowers coming. This one area we went to literally was just a whole field of foxgloves. It was just like, we couldn't really quite capture it properly. I mean, they were just stunning. And it was just everywhere. And so we just made a series, and that's how it all became. And we also do little woodland exhibitions. We took all the paintings out into the woodland.
And people and came?
We only had, only because, it, this is another thing that the reason why it came out of is because of COVID. Because
okay.
You, there were no galleries.
Anyway, there's no people
you
in galleries.
You were not having exhibitions anywhere. And so we thought we'll make our own exhibition outside. So it was sort of like an exterior art gallery.
That's amazing.
And it was amazing because, as you say, it just sort of seemed to work, you know.
Yes, they do
together.
Work.
They just sort of combined and then worked together. Really
and because
fantasy.
The colors of your paintings are really very, lot of red, lot of blue, lot of yellow and neon colors. With the green of the background, they really stand out. But at the same time, they have a beautiful dancing connection.
They seem to merge a little bit.
Exactly.
And then I tried to sort of match my outfits, of course.
Yes, you did. You always do it.
I tried.
You did it very well.
Yeah.
And talking about exhibitions, please let's come back to the more recent project you have. I'm saying have because I think it's until the 2 of May. It's going to be this exhibition Romantica.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. The Shape of My Heart.
That's it, yes.
This was in Milan.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting because it was, or it is, for the moment you will see this show, it was an exhibition with a lot of curators and a lot of artists invited. And very mediatic somehow. It feels like it was created to be seen all around the world and to be catching, eye-catching. It has this feeling. How did you meet Francesca?
She contacted me. And
Francesca
so
Brunello,
she
right?
Did. She contacted me and said that she discovered my art. And would love me to be involved. So she sent me the whole thing about how they all work and they're different curators, but she would be my curator. And so she was obviously have other artists within her section. I have to say, I'm not really sure if I knew there were all these other curators and all these other artists at the same time within this. But it was really fascinating because of the screens. And this to me was like a sort of new technology. I know it's not like totally new, but with a gallery, within a gallery space, it actually took place in a gallery space in Milan. So people could go into the gallery and do this interactive. So it isn't just, I mean, obviously it's all online and they do all of the reels and the videos. So I thought it was just a really fantastic thing to be involved
with.
So I was like, yeah, for sure.
So you have to wear this mask that makes you to live the experience of the art three-dimensional way?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure.
Because I have seen the videos and then you touch the...
That's right.
You touch the screens and the screens have the art.
That's right.
I have seen these people wearing this mask, but I don't know. Don't really know.
I didn't know.
How is your this is a good opportunity to ask you, how is it your relationship with technology? Do you feel analog artist, an analog creator, or do you use technology for your process of creation?
Not normally, no. No, it's something I'm dabbling with, something I'm trying out at the moment. I am mostly I like to be hands-on and get painting on the canvas with paint, But it is something I'm just playing with, really, shall I say.
So are you open to the idea?
I'm open to the idea, absolutely. And some people are trying to get me onto it.
For example?
Well, there's just different people who say, you must do this, you'll do great, you know, and that kind of thing. Your stuff would work so well. So I'm trying to, but technology, gosh, you know, it's a bit of a head fuck. So, pardon my language.
It's
very difficult. So, I mean, I'm trying. I think I'm getting there. And I think it's just something you must look at. Absolutely. Never be too sort of rigid in what you're doing and try to be open to two new things. Yeah. So I'm giving a little dabble.
Of course. And when we experience your Instagram account, there are a lot of gifts.
Yes, yes.
So that's
my latest thing, of course.
That maybe you were kind of flirting with technology at the moment.
I am, yes. Exactly that.
exactly.
Okay. Yes. So, playing
and because you have done lots of videos that are only images and music that we can see on YouTube or in different platforms, where you can appreciate your art as part of a language that involves music, and then you see your paintings there or your image, your own image. I thought maybe, and these lot of gifts with women being coquette.
Yes.
I thought maybe it was very, very, you were very curious about this.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Because there's a lot of talk about sort of like the NFT and ways that art is moving forward or towards, shall we say, all of that digital kind of more computerized art, but it is a new world. Whether I want to continue with it, I don't know. It can drive you a bit mad. It's something to dabble in with, have a little fun with, but definitely never lose my soul sort of focus, which is painting, I think.
Did you have your studio in your house? How is it related, the space where you live at the moment? With the work you are producing at the moment, how is the dialogue between your creations and the situation you are living in? The question is, do you always feel more connected with an idea which is conceptual and is in your head, and then you get on, you put your hands and you make it? Or sometimes, depending of the circumstance you are involved or living or going through, then makes changes in...
Yeah, very much so. It does, yeah. Because when I was doing the bulk of my painting, I was living in a really, really great flat, Mark and I, which had fabulous light. So we have moved from that. And we're in between places. So our next place we have all lined up is I'm gonna have another fabulous studio space with lots of light. But in the meantime, I think this is the reason why maybe also I've got into the sort of digital stuff. Mm-hmm. I haven't been painting as much because I'm sort of in between stages of living in studios. So I think you're totally right. You've read into that, absolutely right. Things, wherever you are, it dictates in some ways, for me anyway, not everyone, I'm sure, what you're doing and how you work. So, yeah.
Tell me, please, about Charles in London, the brand that you and Mark have created together, that nowadays is already a cult brand.
Sure.
And I guess it was very exciting to be involved in a project like that. Tell me everything. Yeah. How did you started, or how did you met, you and Mark?
Yeah, oh gosh, I mean, how we met, we just met in the pub, and then, and he was doing music at the time, actually, in bands and different things like this. And then we decided to do, because I was in fashion and he was interested in fashion. And I think it really kind of stemmed because we were looking around and there wasn't really anything that we were looking to buy. There's nothing. So, and maybe there was, but in our eyes, it wasn't. So let's create, we never thought about creating a brand at the time. It was nothing like that. It literally was just a bit of an idea for some t-shirts. We just made a little series, a small collection of t-shirts, very rude t-shirts, I must say. They were quite naughty. Were very naughty. And we just got them produced in Finchley Road in a Snappy Snaps shop. It was hilarious. Seriously. And and the guy, this is crazy, because have you heard of, I'm sure you must know, Lee Bowery?
Yes, of course.
Lee Bowery. Yes. And the guy that ran the shop or owned the shop, his name is Simon Bowery. He was his cousin.
Oh my
so
God.
We used to do these very naughty, we had these designs and we would just have them printed on white t-shirts. And we would trash them up and make a mess with them and everything. And a lot of them the one particular one was with Kate Moss. And we had this picture of Kate Moss in a heart, and it was my heroine, but with an E. So, but it was her with the coming out of, looking gorgeous, but also like trash. So it was like a take on her being a naughty girl, and also being I look up to her as being, you know, my heroine. So it was like a take on that. Anyway, and we went into the shop with a little selection of small t-shirts.
What year are we talking about?
Oh my goodness. Now you're asking.
Because if you said Kate Moss, she was probably in her best moment, right? Well, she has, she's always in a good moment, but
yeah,
probably
90s. Probably early 90s, something like this, yeah. So it wasn't just about Kate Moss, but
no, I know, yeah. Small collection. That was just an example.
We walked in this little shop in off Carnaby Street, not on Carnaby Street, a little boutique, and we just had them on hangers. So walked in and just put them on the rail and then said, would you like to look at the, and there was this guy there and he went, oh, I like it. And he put them on and he looked, you know, like, oh my God. And so everyone just said, surely you'd set that up. He put it on and she said, let's take an order. And that was it.
And that was the beginning.
Yeah. And so we were in the shop for a bit, but then very quickly, they did find out about her agent. And they were all taken off the shop floor.
Oh.
So they all had to go. And that was quite hilarious.
The agents?
I think it was Kate Moss's agent found out that the teachers were, yeah, there.
Oh, gosh.
And so they were taken out of the shop. Yeah. So that was sort of like kind of the beginning of it. And then we sort of took it on a little bit more and got into a few other shops and then got a little space. And then the next thing that... because it's such a long story, Charles of London.
Please tell us ride.
But then it was Ben Westwood, Vivian Westwood's son. We had in Brick Lane, we decided to take on a small little section in the shop there. And we got a call one day and he said, Ben Westwood would like to talk to you. Because he's, anyway, so, oh God, here we go. You know, we're thinking there's another one. It's going to be taken off. He said he loved it. We used to use a lot of images that we just would find in magazines and we would then mash up. So it would be collages, a mashup, and they were all a bit naughty. Hence why he was happy about it. Simon Bowery, Lee Bars. I don't know. He just like, hey, I understand this.
Yeah,
and
you had the fortune to
them, even though he knew they were naughty. He would have to sometimes print them in the basement because when they were picking up the photographs, and they were seeing this naughty, oh my God, no. He's like, I'll put them downstairs. This is okay.
How long were you doing this fashion brand?
Oh,
only
gosh.
T-shirts were produced?
No, this is it. We just started off with the T-shirts, but then they went on to doing other things. So jackets, this particular jacket.
It's from the brand?
Yes, this one
God.
Here. Yes, so we did trousers. We had a little cloak. We had a factory in Brick Lane doing things for us. We would do... leggings, trousers, dresses, jackets, biker jackets.
Amazing.
All sorts of things. So it did move on into being a brand. And then we would do trade shows and we would sell abroad to New York and in Italy and all sorts of places. So it did build up quite a bit. And it was a lot of hard work and super stressful. But it was great fun. Yeah.
And did it stop?
It did.
The production?
It did.
Why?
It did. Well, the thing is because it was so difficult. We were sort of in between... a high-end brand and a lower, you know, sort of more high street brand. We were in between. And so
the prices were not that
prices
cheap.
Were difficult. Exactly. They weren't that cheap, but they weren't the high end. So you had to find this independent boutique, which we had that were stocking our clothes. And then a lot of those started closing. And then, of course, you were getting a lot of people who were just getting a lot of mass-produced stuff. And they were like, well, I can get something kind of similar. And it's already ready there. We made to order everything. We would get orders. We would have it made to order in London. And that we felt was our kind of little stamp. This is important to us. And
yeah.
We thought it would be important to the people. But they said, well, no, because they can get it cheaper. So, yeah, that was a big problem.
And at that time, were you also painting simultaneously?
No,
or were you
not
just
at all, not
100%
at all.
100% producing fashion?
100% doing Charles of London. Doing the orders and yeah.
And music designing. Also at the same time? No.
We did a little bit of the music still probably.
So
but
it
not
was
as
after
much.
Or before.
So I think the music
gob
sausage was sort of simultaneously a little bit with Charles of London, yeah. But then I think then Charles of London took over and it was all Charles of London. We occasionally would do a bit of gob sausage, but sausage sort of like yeah, left.
But
us.
Mark still produce music, right?
He does.
He's been always producing music?
Well, off and on, you know, but mostly, yeah. Mostly
when you
music.
Create your paintings, I have the feeling that you are listening
to God sausage.
To electro noise,
definitely.
Well,
it's really funny they say, because when I first started painting, I would actually put up on just making sort of thing about what I would do and listen to what sort of music. So a mixture of course, music is very influential, and I had to have music. And I would say, Mark, put on this, play me some music. Absolutely.
I feel
different, all different sort of music though.
Maybe you are listening to classical music, Beethoven,
sometimes,
Chopin.
Sometimes, of course, a bit of Rachmaninoff. Why not?
But the playlist I can hear or listen to when I see your paintings is definitely more upbeat, something very in between fashion, with a fashionable attitude, but a very noisy sound.
I think it's something distortion. You need to have music, but maybe not too much distortion, because
more
I
melodic?
Have to concentrate a bit. Not necessarily. Oh, I don't know. It just
know.
Depends on the mood, you know. And if I didn't like something, Mark would be on the computer doing something, and he would have the music. And I would just tell him, you know,
please
change it, you know?
would you like this?
I would paint. But, and also because we work together so well, I would ask him to come over and look at it. This is when I'm working on a big piece or something. Yeah. And then leave him a bit.
And
you look at it and he would suggest things.
Yeah, music was important.
Same with the fashion, may I add, actually. Music was very important, and that definitely intertwined.
Also, when you were creating
absolutely.
The fashion brand,
music and fashion, of course.
Well, music and fashion, they go together
absolutely.
Almost naturally.
Yeah, of course.
But the kind of painting, the kind of artwork that you do, it's also like you have the feeling that it is born out of the same. Like it has a very natural conversation with this fashion and this music, which is more than fashion and music. It also involves an ideology, a style of life, beliefs, and system of ideas. It's very untangled, everything, but at the same time very organic also. And with your art, have you been lucky enough to be, for example, in Berlin, that you went there to the Ironic Gallery? Ironic Gallery in 2017.
Yeah.
And where else? Where else have you been
selling
your painting?
Well, I have to say, in Berlin, quite a lot. So it wasn't just in 2017 in Ironic Gallery, but quite a few years. And she's been kept me as, really, as I'm like the sort of resident artist there. So I've done very well in Berlin, but Italy, I've shown Italy and France and London.
Where in Italy?
It's a place called Finale Borgo.
Okay.
It's just a beautiful place.
Wow.
And a couple little places I've shown there and did very well. Yeah.
I would have thought Milano was a city for your art.
I know. Well, it just sort of happened by coincidence. Mark and I went there for our 25th anniversary. We weren't going to go. It was like, what are we going to do? It's a 25th anniversary. What do you do? He booked tickets to go to Genoa.
Okay.
We'd never been ever before. And so when we went there, we're just, you know, having a nice time in Genoa.
Eating
on the train.
Delicious food.
Going to different places. And then on the last day before we were about to fly back, we had one last day to, what should we do? Where should we go? And we hopped in the train to Finale Ligure. And in there is the old town, it's called Finale Borgo. And it's just a very beautiful place. Well, I think they're all similar along the Ligurian coast, little old towns inside other beautiful little towns. And it's just a very small place, but literally they love my art and said, have an exhibition. And so we came like in a few months' time and brought stuff, and then
amazing.
Yeah.
Like when things happen like that, it's almost better than in any other way when you're trying to push hard.
Yeah.
And
Mark
things
went
doesn't
in
happen.
First. I daren't ask because I get too embarrassed.
He was the one that was
he's
the manager.
He's the manager and of course.
How is that relationship for you? Because obviously the reason why you stay in London, in England, was because of these partner you met, this relationship that you found.
Yes.
And then it has been always creatively and sentimentally you have been together. for a very long time. How long? 25 years.
Well, it was 25 years, well, 2 years. Actually, so this year, it was 27 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Because working together with anyone isn't easy.
Yeah,
to have
course.
A long-term business relationship isn't it's not easy. But imagine if you add to that all the layers that have to be with being a family, being in a romantic relationship. How? What do you think is the secret?
That's it. Gosh knows. I mean, I'm sure everyone would like to know, but this just...
You too.
Possible.
You would like to know too.
I guess you just have to... it's just a secret between two people. No one can really know, I think. People would love to know. That people look up to us and, oh, I want to be like you.
But there is no secret. You mean...
There is a couple of ours that live in Berlin and... they're getting married and they said we are their inspiration.
Oh, so that's
really sweet. Not that we're actually married, but you know, it's really
sweet. Yes, it's sweet. It's also a big responsibility somehow.
Of course.
Did you feel like being always in the same page, creatively speaking, have helped?
Well, we're not always on the same page.
No,
of course not.
That's good to know.
And that also happens sometimes with the clash. You can have a clash and, but you know that, that helps because if he has an idea, I have an idea, sometimes you have to challenge it. Well, I'm not too sure about that. And then you work your way through it. You know, it's not always perfect.
No, of course not. Of course not. Mm. It would be naive to think otherwise. But talking about that, what have you learned about your failures? What do you think is your biggest failure, but the one that have teach you more?
Gosh, that's a hardy.
That's deep, I know.
You can't what have you done to me? I don't know. Oh gosh, I look back and I think, wouldn't you, as everyone does, I'm sure, and they would say, wish I could have done this or, better. I think it's a classic, isn't it? And I think it's just very difficult. I wouldn't know. I really can't say. I read those sort of, end of the newspaper. Do you ever buy, I shouldn't mention it, a newspaper, a Sunday newspaper, I won't say which one. And I love reading the back page of this particular one. And they say about what is your sort of like, there's a couple little articles in there, your best advice that you've been given, or what would you do differently, or this, that, and the other. You know, it's so hard. So I just have to say I'm not sure.
Now thinking again on your beautiful women, the women in your paintings, the women that live in your paintings, do you work with the life models or are you your own reference? Do you do a lot of self-portrait? Tell me about these ladies that sit on buildings. They look amazing. They look like characters from a fictional book, but at the same time it's like an inspiration of all possibilities that life can offer to anyone who dares.
Yes. Well, I used to do some life sort of drawing. This is a while ago. It was something that I did look into and was interested in. And actually, when I was at school, I did my art teacher. She was fabulous. So she sort of really encouraged me to do lots of things. But I don't really work with life models, and it's not something I do regularly at all. So you are quite. A lot of times, I will look in the mirror for certain things, like for hands, for looks, something like this. I will look
some anatomical references.
Yeah, I will look in the mirror. I will also, of course, look online for certain things. But mostly it just comes out of my head. I'll get a little idea, a sketch, then I'll get it quickly onto a canvas, and then I work from there.
Okay.
I don't plan too much. I have an idea, and then I just sort of take it from there, go for it. Yeah.
So you do what most people find more difficult, which is work from your imagination when you are actually doing human beings. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't work, like a lot of people say, they sort of grid things out and everything's very planned. And I try not to do that because I want to be more spontaneous. But also, I am very particular how I want it to look. I'm not a messy girl. Well, sometimes I can be. It depends. But I'm quite particular how I want it, and so it just sort of builds up from there, I suppose.
When you have an idea, tell me about that process. It starts in your head as a phrase or a concept with words, and then it translates to images, to visual references, or it starts as
an idea usually. So I was maybe sketch it out, or I might have had a dream and I think, oh, this is, then I might try to think, how can I get that onto a canvas? This could work, or maybe not. And so I would maybe try to sketch it first. Usually I do that first. Or I might even just try to just onto the canvas straight away. It depends. And I sometimes definitely would look at myself, but I'm not always, of course, it's not always about me, but just for reference.
And yes. Did you work with a self-portrait? Is something
I have
you
done.
Feel comfortable doing?
Not at all.
No?
No. Very
Why
hard.
Why not?
Oh my God, it's very difficult.
It is difficult, yeah.
Yeah.
It is difficult to look at yourself in that way, I guess. Even though Frida Kahlo used to say, I'm the subject I know better.
Yes. I mean, she is one of my favorites, of course.
But at the same time, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror.
Yeah.
It's not always comfortable.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
Very difficult.
And do you think your art works better for galleries? Or for example, you did in 2020 this exhibition on the street with outside the zone.
This is the one you mean in Shoreditch?
Yes.
Yeah, the big billboard.
Yes.
Yes.
And this gallery in particular, it's the project they have is to take the art outside of the conventional spaces.
Yeah, well, what it was actually, it all came from when we was doing all the paintings in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
So he saw this. And
okay.
So he runs and as a manager, I think, of all of the billboards, or some of the billboards, I should say, in Kingsland Road and that sort of area of East London. But during lockdown, there was no advertisement. Normally there would be for advertisements.
So take advantage of
So they said, let's do something with art. They're just empty, let's sort of curate some art. So he went around to different artists that he knew or he's got inspired by. And that's so the billboards became from that. So, and he asked me to specifically design two billboards for this space.
It's an amazing way to also create a consumption of art completely different, but very, very vivid, like very real, which art should always be, in my opinion.
Yeah. And also outside.
How was for you the experience? Where a lot of people passing by and taking photos and sending you photos.
Well, because it was July last year.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't as busy.
No.
You know, that you weren't able to, I don't know, I mean, take away.
It was during the pandemic, but it also was when
and things. So not so many people, but it was not too bad. I mean, I got a fabulous response. So you would get a lot of people, of course, passing by, taking pictures and then share them Instagram.
Yes.
That's what it was really all about. Yes.
Yes.
So it was a great response and fantastic thing to do, for sure.
How did you feel looking at your art, which you are so,
it's
so intimate for you and you are so familiar with it, and then suddenly growing in space.
See it really big, because I paint large, but these were massive. I was just like, when I got there, you know, I was just like, unbelievable.
I would have been
so
there,
big.
Like taking photos of myself.
Well, we did
for
go
months.
I had friends who went there, because I put it up, of course, as you do on Facebook.
Okay.
Oh, we must go. And, you know, so a lot of people were going and they were doing just your say, photographing themselves and tagging themselves. And yeah, it was really great. It was a great experience. And to see all my pictures up, like I say, really, really big. And it was sort of like I had to sort of look up at them. You know, it was impossible to get yourself in front of them because it was they were high up, you know, proper big billboards.
How was the COVID time for you in terms of what did it change somehow your vision of life in general? Does it have a reflection in your work? It's been easy, it's been difficult. How do you relate with these pandemic times?
Well, I've been trying to work, carry on working, you know, and but also use it in my work so it relates to the times. So I've painted some things that I feel makes, you know, people to think about. There are certain paintings that I did when we were living in the hall, I call it the hall, in the country, where we were feeling so isolated. But there were things happening as well. And so I've done some work within that and felt this was all of the time.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, everyone is affected differently. A very difficult time and very strange.
How do you see the art of the future? How do you see art evolving after this period? Because it has been very peculiar and particularly difficult for each one of us, but also for everyone at the same time.
Of course.
So I have the feeling that after 2021, we will see big changes, and maybe because we are going through it, we now cannot really look and say, oh my God, the world really changed after this situation.
Yes. But has the world already changed? And what really does art mean? I mean, does anyone really care? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a difficulty. People have lots of money, other things going on in their lives. And sometimes people think, well, what does it really matter, art? There's much more important things. There may be a lot of that going on. Of course there is. But the future of actual art, I'm not sure. You know, again, it could be something going back to the Romantica.
How can we be sure?
Yeah. Maybe it's big screens. And this could be the thing in the future of art. Could be that. Big screens in your house. Like a click of a thing. Another picture moves within your mood.
Who knows? And you living in a virtual reality with your mask.
We thought that was going to happen. They said that the year 2000, back in the day, that it was going to be all this computerized things. I mean, it has moved on already in lots of ways. Digital art and things like that.
Yeah.
But who knows?
But we still walk.
I think the heart of everyone after all of this, will we want to look at physical things and go into galleries and have real painting. To be honest, I think actually that's more of what's the thing, because you've had so much digital things, you know, Zoom meetings, everything is like so distanced. And I think hopefully the future will not be so distant. We'll hope to come together and have real art. And yeah.
In your family, with your mom and your dad, being them from Poland and Russia, was it particularly stoic in the sense of the ethic of work? Was it particularly strict? Or was it different from the rest of your friends? How did you feel that built your own personality? The fact of coming from a family made of two people coming from outside that country. Do you think there's something about that special about that? Or it's just a normal family, like any other family.
Well, I don't think they were very normal. But it was really funny growing up in America with just Polish and Russian. So, you know, all the children I met, they were, I knew exactly everything I had. 10% Spanish, 10% Italian, 5% this. And I was like, I'm 50-50. What? They were like, that was crazy. So that was interesting. Growing up, everyone was very different, but we were certainly not
a normal family.
We started watching, Oprah Winfrey. And then I understood. I say, okay, I understand everything. We're not the only crazy family. I mean, my mother is very creative. And there was one of the sort of things I wanted to say. She's one of the ones inspired me for the strong women in my paintings, actually. Okay. She was very, very, very influential in my life. very strong woman and strong character.
Was she beautiful?
Yeah.
She was like
very,
you?
She was very beautiful and she dressed crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You told me that that scarf belonged to her.
This one, no. This one actually is Mark's mother's.
Ah, okay.
Scarf.
Sorry. I
mean, yeah. No, that's okay. Yeah.
My mother, too, was very strong and very aesthetically very, very daring. Like, my house was completely different from the houses of my friends. And that made me very proud.
Yeah.
Not everyone deals with the situations in the same way. I think my sister, for example, was a little bit embarrassed about my mom.
Right,
because she used to have things like naked women around and posters with you know, she had a poster in the entrance of her room. There was a calendar from 1978.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So very peculiar aesthetic with the platforms and a short dress.
Okay.
And then every month the girl was taking off something.
Okay.
She was very feminist, but she had a lot of sense of humor. She could have that kind of visual elements around her and never felt the need of explaining why. And at the same time, being a very strong activist. So that's why I asked
My mother,
you.
I think, was similar.
Similar.
Yeah, because she was very much for all the women's lib, as they called it in the 70s at the time when I was growing up. But burn the bra, you know, all this sort of thing. But she dressed very, very individual and loved all her vintage clothing. I mean, she would have her hair done up fabulous. She had dark, dark hair and curly, very different from mine. But she would sometimes wear all black with bracelets, all Bakelite, colorful bracelets.
Amazing.
Arms like this. And
a bit Chanel, Coco Chanel like.
She would just, I mean, she was...
Bohemian. She sounds very bohemian.
That was just one idea of an outfit. But then, of course, she would wear like this, you know, little mini skirts and the sort of platforms and her hair done. But she loved to dress up and, she loved to have a nice, her clothes and a nice car. Things like this. So, but she also was, like I said, a strong independent. I say independent as best you could be independent. Five children.
With a sense of individual.
Yeah, so.
This is me, and I don't mind if it matched with your idea of a respectable woman.
Yeah.
This is just me, and I'm respectable. That was the attitude of my mom.
Yeah. Exactly. Very similar. Oh, I can remember this one instance of my mother getting dressed. She decided to go to a. I think it was like a school reunion. And she went oh my goodness. And my brother, my oldest brother, and off she went in the taxi with this white dress, fringe, like a 1930s.
Yes, yes.
With all.
Like a ballerina from a.
And with this white coat, like a sort of feather. I mean, and she looked amazing. Off she went on her own to this. You know, of course.
Do you remember how did you relate to that? Was it for you a good thing or was
Absolutely.
An embarrassing thing?
Not embarrassing. I was never embarrassed. No, I thought she was amazing.
That's amazing.
So I look at my mother as absolutely always inspiration, of course.
That's probably there in your paintings.
Yeah.
And I would like to know if the images around you, like in your house or the ones you had in your room, bedroom when you were... little are related somehow with the art you produce.
No, not really.
Because I have this theory that we end up always doing what we started doing at some point.
I'm starting very young drawing fashion, so I guess that's where it kind of stemmed from. And my mother being very interested in fashion, and my brother was a drag queen. Did I tell you that?
No.
Darling,
I know that. What was his name or her name? Her name.
Well, he's just a drag queen.
Well, her name when she was a drag queen.
Yes, Lupi Velez.
Okay.
Which is after a Hollywood actress, Lupi Velez.
Okay.
Everyone just called her Lupi. And yeah, so she would dress up in drag and go
with the clothes of your mom.
or your clothes. Mine were probably too small, yes, because he was older than me. But yeah, so basically it all started really because he loved the way she dressed. And he used to probably think he was her stylist, you know, this sort of thing. And then we used to go to nightclubs when we were quite young. and we'd all go to nightclubs together. Me and my sister, my brother, my oldest brother.
You were five, right?
Yes, but the other two brothers, they wouldn't be going. Mm. They were on my father's side, as it were. And then we would all dress up and go to nightclubs. I was very young. I mean, we'd have to get...
And drink together.
I never really drank. No, not really. No.
That's interesting. Then. Always to know a little bit the universe where people come from. It's quite... It's lovely to know because you always see... why they are where they are somehow.
Oh,
or because they were completely against whatever they had, or because they were so comfortable with the
things. Well, I think that's interesting because I'm a little bit of both, really, because I wanted to get away from it in lots of ways because there were difficulties in the family. I won't go into that too much, but I take a lot of it, but also I have to get rid of some of it. So I take what I like and get rid of the rubbish. That's how I see it.
And I guess a lot of people label your art as pop art.
Mm.
But what do you feel comfortable with that label? What labels do you prefer to name your art?
Yeah, labels are always difficult, aren't they? No one really wants to be pigeonholed. Mm. I mean, pop art isn't a bad thing, really. As far as I can see, there are the elements of pop art, for sure. But there was someone who actually said that my art reminded them, or they had a particular phrase, which they came up with, which was punk meets Picasso. And I thought that's really cool. I could take that. I like that. And she's sort of... I was like, yeah, I'll keep that. I tag all the time, but I'm not sure if it was something she just invented and when she saw my art or whether she'd
seen it before. But you feel comfortable with
that. So I like that. But I really don't know. I mean, I could never really explain it or anything like that. So hard, isn't it? To and I wouldn't want to, like I said, pigeonhole myself in any particular category. But yeah, those are the nearest ones we can get to.
It's also not really a label. It's more like a phrase that could explain what you do, right? Yeah,
the punk meets Picasso.
Yeah, for sure. When you work, tell me about the materials. Do you don't use oleo?
I have used oils in the past. And actually, I'm a self-taught artist. Yes, mostly. I mean, I've done drawing since I was very young and a couple of classes here and there. But actually, I started working initially in oils. And that's how I taught myself to paint. How I like to think I paint. I mean, I'm self-taught, so.
But
I do paint now in acrylics.
They say that to work with acrylics, of course, for the kind of effect with the color
to be more quick.
But you have to be quick, fast. Right.
Well, no, you don't have to be quick.
No.
It dries very quickly. Well, I suppose in some ways you have to be quick because it dries so quickly. But also because with oils, things take so long. There's a friend of mine, she paints in oils. I mean, literally, she's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Details, fabulous. So, and then there's another friend of mine, he's just painting oils. And, oh, for God's sakes, will you just dry? Because they want to get on to the next thing. You know, so for me, acrylics is something you can work quickly with. But also, it dries very quickly, and then, oh gosh, now I want to go back, and I can work now. I haven't got to wait, you know, so that's what I like about it. Because I like to do some work, go away, come back, look at it, and then do some more. I don't want to wait a day, 2 days before I can come
back.
Exactly, yeah.
But also, correct me if I'm wrong, but I also think it has the quality you need to give the impact you give to your paintings.
Because it's such a big canvases, I want to be able to cover things quickly in order to get to a place kind of quickly where I want and then get in more detail and more depth. Yes, so that helps, of course, yeah. You can get a lot on much faster and then you can... that's just a great way to work, I think, yeah, for me anyway.
Do you feel comfortable selling yourself in social media? How has it been for your production, for your name, for your label, for your art to sell more? It's been useful?
Yeah,
it's
been very useful. Yes, of course. I mean, where would we be without it, really?
Okay.
Yeah, you have to have it, absolutely. And it's always, you're always learning about it and
What particular platform has been especially good for you and you maybe can recommend to other artists?
Well, I think just Instagram, to be honest. Instagram is the best. I found so many people found me through Instagram.
Yes.
So I've sold a lot of work, but also met a lot of people from Instagram.
That's amazing.
So I would say that is the top. I know there's lots of other Facebook, and you know, that helps too, but not as much. I think Instagram is better for it.
These days, Instagram have everything. The punch of the image is quite clear. It's quite direct. And for artists, it seems to work very, very well.
Yeah.
Can you remember a special relationship that you have built through Instagram and has been amazing?
Oh my gosh.
Well, these girls, Francesca.
Yeah. Well, this is just a new new sort of introduction, really. So I can't really say what would happen in the future with that. But obviously what they're doing is fantastic. Whether I would carry on doing it, I'm not sure. You know, I have to see what happens. But I've had a great response. This is anything to do with that kind of thing, to bring out my work into a wider audience, you know, is fantastic.
You don't feel pressure about the media, the platform? You don't
feel... Sometimes, you know, people might... I don't feel pressure from it, actually. But sometimes people will pressure you into maybe doing things... Sorry, I'm not bothered.
For example?
They want you to, we can get you bigger on. Like, this is another thing I think is the negative side of Instagram. You'll get people emailing you because they've seen you, you can get more audiences, you know, trying to sell you. So there's a lot of that.
It's not about how many followers
there's
you have.
And I'm not interested in that. So I just say, thank you. I'm not interested. Bye. I prefer to have real followers rather than all this sort of pseudo, I'm not really sure. I don't need all that. So I'm not bothered, So there is pressure in that way, absolutely, for you to, for people to come to you to try maybe make money from you.
That's a business.
It is a business. But I'm not sure. I don't agree with it.
Okay. Yeah. And future plans, future moves. Oh, what are you doing? Yeah. Where are you working?
Yeah, well, I have a proper exhibition coming up.
Really?
Yes.
So in situ, in real life.
In situ. Where? It is in Hastings. It's a group show, and it is with some really fantastic artists, actually. This girl, Ella Guru, she's an American artist and lived in London. This is insane, because literally she lived in London all around the same time in similar areas and knows loads and loads of friends, but I never met her until we moved together into East Sussex. And she paints oils and super amazing.
I think I saw her in your, because of something in your Instagram, you maybe tag her.
Oh, because I think she painted us in one of her paintings recently when we were mass swim on Mark's birthday. And then apparently she gets commissioned for lots of things, and he wanted us in this painting, so maybe that was that. And then this is other girl, Katie Ray, she paints oils, but she does mostly portraits, very, very beautiful, very detailed portraits. And then there's another couple other artists, a little very different from mine, from those two ladies. So it's a really great, interesting group exhibition at the State Hall in Hastings
that is going to happen
end of June.
Wow.
Yes, so we can come in and see some art.
That's fantastic.
Properly.
Best of luck for
that. Thank you very much.
And Susan had the wonderful, thoughtful detail of bringing this book.
Problem.
I love it, and I haven't seen it yet, but I know the book because
would you like to open it?
Yes,
and
then, please.
I will sign it for you.
Please. And also, I would like to show everyone a little bit of the book before.
Of course.
Oh, I already saw the color. This is going to be, oh my God. Yes. Isn't it amazing? Just the first page I opened. And before finishing and before you sign me this, another question I wanted to ask you, what are the pros and cons of self-publishing?
It's self-publishing.
These books are great.
Thank you very much. Well, it was just something I wanted to do. There, a lot of people were saying, shall I just do a little catalogue or something like this of my art? And so in the end, I decided to do a book. But I had friends who helped me with the layout, and they did a great job. It is difficult. It was it was hard to, it was the first one I've done. It obviously, when you look back and you go, gosh, you know, you would do things a lot differently.
But why subliminal messages?
Well, this was just sort of like the title of the book, because I think with a lot of my paintings, there's different messages in there. People see different things.
Mm.
Yeah. So that's sort of the idea behind that.
Oh my God. I'm going to have so much fun enjoying these. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It really means a lot.
Great.
Amazing. I really like all these bold troublemaker.
The troublemakers.
Yes.
Yes.
And please, let's finish this interview with
a
special dedicatory.
I'll have to sort of dig out my Sharpie pen.
That's fine.
Oh, I also might have to give you a sticker.
More presents.
The art isn't in here. So I have three different ones. Right, there's that one.
Oh, when you said stickers,
yeah,
I was imagining something super small.
Oh, I know.
And it's amazing.
Right, obviously, so you can, the sticker.
Perfect. So I can put this on a wall.
Well, I don't know if you want to stick it on your wall. I would be able to say who.
It's not my wall.
You can still. But I guess you could frame it if you want.
I can frame it. Or there I can put it on a notebook. A big.
Yes, of
big,
course. That's a great idea.
Like a cover.
Why not? Absolutely.
Amazing. It's really pretty, that is one.
This one somehow. Here I painted. She's crying
and she's holding a rose.
Yeah.
It's tragic.
Oh, I know it.
I love it. Thank you so much.
I have my Sharpie.
Susan.
There we are.
It's been a pleasure, really,
Fabulous.
Having you.
I really enjoyed it.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. I didn't refer to any of my notes.
I wish you the best of luck with exhibition coming.
Thank you.
And
very
with
much.
Everything.
Thank you.
And for you all, thank you for staying with us till now.
Oh,
and see
fabulous.
You later. See you in our next episode of Metralla Rosa. Oh,